The Devil's Advocates radio show is broadcast under a time brokerage agreement between Devil Radio and Civic Media, Inc. Some portions of this program may be pre-recorded. Warning! You're about to listen to the greatest radio show ever, and due to contractual obligations and to shield our airwaves and corporate licensees from any semblance of liability, responsibility, and gullibility, we must tell you the views represented on this show are not necessarily those of this station or its management. This radio show contains differing points of view on current political topics, and due to the nature of its contents, it should be heard by everyone. Thank you for listening. Now live from the Civic Media Studios in Madison, Wisconsin, where the political party is just beginning, welcome to the Devil's Advocates radio show. Friends proving it's never personal, only politics.
Please allow me to introduce myself.
And now, here's your hosts, Dom and Crute.
Welcome back to the Devil's Advocates radio show, the 5 o'clock happier happy hour. No Dom today, but it's still getting happier right now. I got a fine guest live via phone. You know him. You love him. He is author, the very direct Matt Flynn. Matt, how you been, fella?
I've been good, Crudy. Good to be on the show with you, my friend.
Well,
this is great. Just like old times.
Just like old times, Matt. And you are a former partner at Quarles & Brady, an attorney by vocation for much of your life. Matt, I got to ask you, do you ever think we'd get to the day where the former president would be a criminal defendant and the trial has begun, Matt?
Yeah, it has, you know, and here's the deal. The first time I laid eyes on this guy, and I mean that in the sense of not personally, but he surfaced running in 2016. He exudes criminality. He exudes fraud. The guy's a walking fraud scene. Everybody around him goes to jail or gets indicted, and up till now he's come out clean. Well, he isn't clean anymore. No, I mean, it's unbelievable. It's shameful. It's shameful as hell what we have, and the entire universe, the entire world is watching us. And we see this guy is he's a serial fraudster is what the guy is. So I think he's going to get convicted in this one. I really do. And we'll see. But no, I mean, Pecker was on the stand today. There's nothing good about this for Donald Trump.
Matt Flynn, my fine guest, live via phone. Matt, I didn't think that Trump would be so diminished. He seems diminished in the courthouse. You know, when he's up in front of a rally crowd, he's, you know, he's sort of in his moment. That's his groove moment. But court, and Matt, I know you worked in the courts, but I can tell you, as a former defendant and a few time litigator, the process for most of us of going to court is a soul stealing process, Matt. And it seems like it's stealing the energy out of Donald Trump in real time. And the guy keeps going to sleep and apparently farting at the court, Matt.
You know, you really hit the nail on the head. When people go into court, look, I practiced law for almost 40 years, had a lot of different cases and trials, and everybody talks a good game. They go, we bad. They walk into court, we bad. Well, they ain't so bad after a while. And you look at this guy, you know, he's only 3 years younger than Biden. He'll be 78 in July. He'll be 78 in July. His father had Alzheimer's. He himself has his early onset dementia, and he's scared. He's scared. Witless, he's scared. So he's in there and he's listening to people going after him. The judge is going after him. One juror who ended up not serving, but she had something very interesting to say. She said, you know, I was sitting about 30 feet away from the guy and heard about this guy. You know, it's a big deal. So I looked at him and I realized he's just another person. And he was diminished. She did not use that word, but he is scared because if he gets convicted of a felony, something like a third of his voters have said they will not vote for him. Even the Trumpers, not going to vote for him. The other thing is he will go to jail. He will go to jail. This is a felony. He's attacked the judge, attacked the judge's daughter, attacked jurors. Enough's enough. He will go to jail. Yes, he'll have Secret Service in the next cell, but he'll get up at 5:30 if that's what the warden says, and he'll sound off.
So, Matt Flynn, let me ask you about the crossing of the line. The gag order hearing was apparently about 9:30 this morning Eastern time. They were meeting, and there were allegations leveled by the prosecutors that Trump has already broken Merchant's gag order like 10 times. And while the $1,000 a violation is not going to have any impact whatsoever on this guy, what about time in jail, Matt? Can you envision the judge throwing his ass in jail? And is perhaps he begging for it in some weird way?
Well, you hit the nail right on the head on a very profound issue here. He is begging for it because he put out a fundraising email saying they're going to put me in jail. You got to send me some money to defend myself. All he does is take it himself, and he uses it for attorney's fees. He is absolutely doing that. I think he would like to be put in jail. Then he'll say, oh, I'm like Martin Luther King in the Birmingham jail, or Nelson Mandela, or this one. Well, he's sort of like Adolf Hitler in jail in Germany in the 1920s. But the point of the matter is, judges don't initially like to put guys in jail for contempt. But when there's contempt that's in their face, they have to. I was at an event the other night with former Judge Bonnie Gordon and her husband, Paul. They're dear friends of ours. And she was a top-notch judge. She's retired. And we were talking about it. She said, what I would do and what Milwaukee County would do, if you have a guy's in your face like this continuously contemptuous, there are jail cells in the courthouse right behind the judge's chambers in some courthouses. And the judge can say, that's it. Take him to the cell. And the bailiffs will take him out. Yes, the Secret Service will go along. They'll put on an orange jumpsuit, and you'll sit there. The judge can say 3 days. She said she'd give him 3 days. I'd give him 10 days. Now, yeah, he'll boast about it. But, Crudy, I got to put it this way. At what point do the hardcore Trumpers go, seeing my man diminished, slapped around like a dog, am I going to stay with this guy? You know what I mean? I just think that Marchand isn't a very good judge. So what he's going to do is he's taken under advisement. And
he is a good judge, to your opinion, Matt? I didn't hear you clearly.
He is a good judge.
Okay.
He is a very good judge. And what he's doing, what I think he's going to do is say, look, I'm fining you 10 grand or whatever. Obviously, that's chump change to Trump. But then he's going to say, Mr. Trump, I want you to understand, if you do this again, in other words, set the groundwork for it, you are going to be put for 3 days in the jail cell in this building. That way, people are prepared for it. He will shoot his mouth off again. He's already attacked witnesses. One juror said she was scared and didn't want to be a juror anymore. You can't. Organized crime and Islamic Jihad are usually the ones that this happens with, that you have to keep the jurors anonymous, hide them, and then put these guys in jail when they threaten. This is the head of the Republican Party, for God's sake. I mean, this is a very sad circumstance. Very sad circumstance.
Folks, you are listening to the Devil's Advocates Radio Show. Got a fine guest, a friend of mine. He is author Matt Flynn. Matt, before I forget to ask, what are you writing right now, and what have you published recently, and where can I buy the books?
Well, I'm very proud of this, and so thank you for letting me shamelessly pound my drum, okay? I published a novel in December, so it's only a couple of months old, called The Court of Last Resort. And you get anywhere. You can get at Barnes & Noble's, your Amazon. You can go to, you know, Boswell's bookstore in Milwaukee and whatever bookstores are selling to order it. But basically, it's about a federal judge in Chicago who's a former Marine commando. He doesn't like what happens in court, and at night he goes out and takes matters into his own hands. And this thing is selling very well. Another book that I've written is being published next month. It's called Hunting Bernie Weber, and it's a comedy, and it's been described in advanced praise as, quote, Flynn and Hunting Bernie Weber has done for Milwaukee what John Kennedy Toole and Confederacy of Dunces did for New Orleans. So that's high praise. I mean, I'm flabbergasted by it, but both of those. Hunting Bernie Weber won't come out for another month, but The Court of Last Resort, that is a book that you will want to read.
Now, Matt, is this something of a confessional? Do you go home? Did you go home after your long days in court and do vigilante justice? Were you Batman?
Well, remember something, Crudy. I was in the Navy, not the Marine Corps, I was on a ship and I was the operations officer. This particular judge was a commando, and he takes care of business. No, of course I didn't do that, but it occurred to me. I mean, we see people like Trump, frankly. You see people like Jesse Waters, right? I mean, you see people like Matt Gaetz, Paul Gosar. I mean, you see people like Tucker Carlson, for Pete's sake. Yeah. And you know what you like to do. You can't do it. I understand that. But you can write it. You can write it in a novel.
Matt Flynn, got to ask you, a little shocker in our own backyard. Ann Walsh Bradley, the good Bradley, Wisconsin Supreme Court Justice, has announced that she will not seek re-election, although she still feels she's capable and would win re-election. I agree with her. And Chris Taylor, who was my favorite candidate to step up from the appellate court, has already announced she's not running. Man, who's going to run, man? Do you have any insights? Who would you like to see be a candidate, if you have any, you'd like to lift, man?
Yeah, well, we got to have somebody beat Schimmel, okay? We got to have somebody who stands up for our democracy. Ann Walsh Bradley is a friend of mine. She would have won going away. She's been in 30 years. I respect that she's not doing it. You and I have a big difference of opinion on Chris Taylor. I know you supported her. She would be a disaster, in my opinion. She does not have the legal ability, the judicial demeanor, and I'm delighted that she's not running. She would lose. However, I will tell you this. There are a couple of other people. There's this, my friend Ed, if not the, the faculty member at Marquette is thinking of it. Susan Crawford. I've never met her. Never met her, but I want to float that name. Very impressed with what I read about her. And I think she'd be a very, very tough advocate for our democracy. So there are two of them right there. A faculty member at Marquette, another Dane County judge, and I hope there are more, because this is going to be a fight. The Republicans are going to step up. But remember something. If the Republicans win this seat this time, it goes back 4-3 Republican on the court. We can't have that. We can't have that.
No, Matt, because we'd see the newly fairly signed redistricting maps. They'd go right back before the courts. Abortion, women probably would lose their abortive rights. Matt, you and I may disagree about about Chris Taylor, but lots of stuff we agree about. You're a friend of mine. I appreciate it, Matt, and I'll look forward to reading the new book, Court of Last Resort. Did I get that right, man?
You got it.
Which one am I in? Which book is Crudy a character in?
You are a character in one of my books, in Milwaukee Jihad. I'm not kidding. Yeah.
I know. You gave me a signed copy. It's in the bookshelf right over there. Matt Flynn, my good friend. He's a fine co-devil for a bit. Matt, thanks for joining me. Be well, my friend.
Thank you. Thank you, sir.
Thank you. Come back. More devils. Cut you down.
Warning. Listening to the devil's advocates may expose you to opposing views.
Welcome back to the Devil's Advocates Radio Show, the Taco Tuesday edition, a happy hour indeed. Always great to speak with my buddy Matt Flynn. I miss that guy. But you can read the book, Court of Last Resort. He's got a comedy. I gotta admit, I don't think Matt Flynn, comedy genius, but he might be Batman. You never know. Matt said something, and I wanted to sort of pair it with a thought I heard from sort of former legal genius turned, you know, shill on Fox News, Alan Dershowitz. Now, our buddy Matt Flynn said, put Trump in jail. Put him in the jail behind the judge's stand. I didn't know there was a jail that the judge could just throw a guy in there. I don't like this guy. Throw him in jail. Well, according to Matt, many courthouses have such facilities. But law professor Alan Dershowitz predicted that Donald Trump would be murdered in prison if he was stripped of his Secret Service protections. Well, yes. But who said he would be stripped of his Secret Service protections? I'm pretty sure they would have him in protective custody in any arrangement he would find himself in. Now, Dershowitz made the remarks to Newsmax. Did you ever find yourself watching Newsmax? I've never found myself watching Newsmax. after Rep. Benny Thompson, Democrat from Mississippi, introduced a bill to revoke Secret Service benefits if the former president is convicted of a crime. So he would not have the Secret Service if he's behind bars, a Newsmax host told Dershowitz. Well, that's ridiculous, the law professor replied. That means they want him killed because he's obviously a target. We live in an age where everybody is in danger. Look, Bobby Kennedy ought to be getting Secret Service protection, but certainly Donald Trump needs to get Secret Service protection, he insisted. In the end, Dershowitz predicted Trump will never serve jail time. I told you, he shills mostly on the Foxy News these days. The judge is going to bluff and fine and threaten, but he's not going to throw Donald Trump in jail, he explained. That would be a guaranteed victory. It would even get people like me, perhaps, to vote for him if he was thrown in jail on an unconstitutional charge, Dershowitz added. So I don't think it's going to happen. Well, Dershowitz, you're not voting for Trump, are you? Really? Come on, man. Have you changed so much, Alan Dershowitz? Have you turned coat? Well, maybe. You know, he does get paid probably well for his multiple appearances on the Fox News. They love when the supposedly liberal turned, you know, a new leaf, a new conservative leaf. When you are willing to protect the MAGA cult leader, then, you know, they're happy about that. There was a point today, this is being reported, I found this at the Raw story. Donald Trump couldn't open his eyes during embarrassing testimony. Have you ever had someone talking about you and you had to close your eyes? Like, oh, I can't even watch. I can't even watch this. Well, that is what's being reported. Love to hear from you. You can hit us up on the text line or the phone lines, 844-967-2789. Trump kept his eyes closed during potentially embarrassing testimony. Let's read more. Donald Trump closed his eyes during two potentially embarrassing portions of testimony from former National Enquirer publisher David Pecker, according to onlookers in his hush money trial Tuesday. Now, I wonder if that's something he does, like if that's his poker tell. Like, oh, here comes something really bad. I can't watch. Anyways, the reporting at the Raw story. The magazine and tabloid publisher told the jury that he coordinated with Trump's then-lawyer Michael Cohen to buy up damaging stories about him during the 2016 presidential campaign, and he testified about paying $30,000 to a Trump Tower doorman who claimed the GOP nominee had fathered an illegitimate child with a maid, reported by NBC News. Dino Sajudin was in the market selling a story that Donald Trump fathered an illegitimate girl with a maid in at Trump Tower, Pecker said, adding he learned about the doorman story from former National Enquirer editor-in-chief Dylan Howard. And if you're unaware, Dylan Howard apparently has a spinal injury, is overseas, and will not be a part of the trial, but he is referenced a few times by the aforementioned, unfortunately named David Pecker. So Pecker testified that he immediately notified Cohen, who absolutely denied the tale, but promised to investigate, and he eventually told Howard to buy Sojin's story and prevent its publication. Trump's eyes were closed. Talking about in court today as this is being recounted. Trump's eyes were closed, and he did not seem to have any visible reaction during that portion of the testimony, according to NBC News. And he kept them closed when Pecker brought up former Playboy model Karen McDougal. Going back to the Rolodex, the memories in his mind, if you will. Pecker said that he learned that a Playboy model is trying to sell a story about a romantic relationship she had with Donald Trump for a year, reported Lawfare, who added that Trump's eyes remained closed during that testimony as well. Kept his eyes closed. I wonder if he, never mind, something else, far too graphic. I won't even go there. Eyes wide open. I can always do this radio show with my eyes wide open. I never have to close my eyes, except occasionally when CJ calls. 844-967-2789. CJ, you might catch me in a weak moment. I want you to defend Trump's week in court so far. It's only Tuesday, but I know you got a rambling defense in you. You, sir. If loyalty was the only necessary qualification to be part of the legal team, well, I think you'd check that box. Come back. More Devil's Advocates. I expect loyalty absolutely out of most or all of you. You know, if you get home, just sit in the driveway, listen for a bit longer. That's all we ask. And we love it when you're a part at 844-967-2789. Dom returns tomorrow. You could make the drive home a little better, a little easier. You could make it the greatest radio show ever if you called right now. Once again, 844-967-2789.
Grass-fed, locally raised, 100% organic. The Devil's Advocate.
Welcome back to the Devil's Advocates Radio Show, a Tuesday happier happy hour. It's always more fun when you participate. I've been reading the text line. Cam from Nina texting, please talk about how he being Trump, ripped ass in court today. I think I did bring something up. WMDX texter, thanks John. John Zarbano, who is running in CD6 as a Democrat. Thank you, John, for running against Glenn Grothman. I hate having to skip that part of the ballot because he's unopposed. Make sure you go to all the fundraiser meals put on across the district and glad hand like Glenn. I think it's all he does except visiting small businesses for campaign donations. Yeah, that sounds about right. Cam from Nina thanks me for mentioning the fact that Trump probably farting again in court today. And then a texter wants to know, what happens to all the Trumpites sending all the threats in? I mean, it's happening here in the state of Wisconsin. Megan Wolf, the Wisconsin Elections Commissioner Administrator, is under what? Lock and key, under personal security currently at the taxpayer expense because she has been personally threatened. We know it's happening to the judges. It's happening to the prosecutors. Hell, it was happening to Mike Gallagher. That's in part why he got out. But anyways, let's get back to the phones. 844-967-2789. John from Madison. Welcome, John. What do you got for us? Hey, John.
Hey.
There you are. Welcome, hey, John. What do you got for us?
I'm here. I heard a beep on the line.
That's the good beep.
Say, yeah, so I'm about 2 weeks removed from my surgery.
And, oh, how'd it go, John?
Yeah. Well, it went pretty well. I was pretty in agony from about the second to the fourth day. And then they were putting me on Tylenol and occasionally gave me something a little stronger, but I got out on Saturday and they found something, some air that had gotten in my chest that they had to monitor for a while. Mm. So a little sore, but otherwise got a little time to recover and everything seems pretty good.
Well, all scary stuff, John, but glad and hopeful for your quick recovery, my friend.
Yeah, it's too bad I got some time off and I don't get to watch the Trump trial.
Well, it would be nice if we could actually see Trump sleeping and farting his way through the days. But, you know, the constant coverage, they must, you know, be live tweeting and communicating because reporters are standing outside the courtroom effectively giving live interviews about what's happening inside the courtroom. So, you know, it's pretty good. But, you know, if you wait till three or four and tune into the Devil's Advocates, we usually have collected all the details from the day's trial.
Yeah, exactly. I wish that he wouldn't keep making up stories like the police are keeping the supporters away, and that's why there's only a couple people standing outside of the courthouse. But you know, that's his game.
Well, he's gone after Maggie Haberman. If you've seen Jen, and thanks for your call, I should throw this out there for the record, and keep getting better, Jen. Glad you're feeling healthier. New insults on the Truthy Social today in a lengthy Truthy Social rant in which Trump also argued his supporters had been blocked by police from gathering outside the Manhattan courthouse. This is what I believe John was referencing. Thousands of people were turned away from the courthouse in lower Manhattan by steel stanchions and police, literally blocks from the tiny side door from where I enter and leave, Trump wrote. It's an armed camp to keep people away. This is a repeat of an earlier claim debunked by reporters at the scene who say it's blatantly false. Maggie Haberman of the failing New York Times, Maggie Haberman, if you're unaware, these are the new insults he's casting. Maggie Haberman of the failing New York Times falsely reported that I was disappointed with the crowds, Trump declared. No, I'm disappointed with Maggot and her lack of writing skill, and that some of these many people aren't being sent to Columbia and NYU to keep the schools open and the students safe. Now, I don't know if you're aware, but there is a campus shutdown at Columbia University. The pro-Palestinian protesters and the pro-Israeli protesters clashing. But this is a clash amongst the students. And, you know, while I do see some eager conservatives saying, you know, let's send the National Guard, I'd prefer not to have a repeat of what happened in Ohio back in the 1970s, if you know what I'm saying. But anyways, Trump's not above inciting a little violence if necessary, or sending some more cops, unless it's January 6th. Then, you know, didn't ever come to top of mind for the man. But again, back to his lengthy post. The legal scholars called the case a scam that should never have been brought. I call it election interference. Any personal hit job by a conflicted and corrupt judge who shouldn't be allowed to preside over this political hoax. New York justice is being reduced to ashes and the world is breathlessly watching. Hopefully appellate courts can save it, and all of the companies that are fleeing to other jurisdictions, they can no longer take a chance on New York justice. Now, Haberman had been covering Trump for years, long enjoyed close access to him while he was in the White House, even posing with him for a smiling photo. But Trump's attitude towards Haberman, they write here, has soured, and she has covered his behavior in the courtroom, including his embarrassing inability to stay awake. Trump's other claim in the post that huge crowds of his supporters turned up to rally in Manhattan and then were turned away by the police also appears to be not true, as NBC News' Vaughn Hilliard posted video footage of the streets around the courthouse open to traffic and barely anyone demonstrating in support of the former president. I heard, you know, virtual dozens, like 25 to 50. That's a big crowd, isn't it? Biggest crowd ever outside a former president's criminal trial. As it's unprecedented, literally, it's probably the biggest protesting crowd outside a former president's criminal trial ever. Now, Haberman herself has also debunked the idea that local streets were closed off during the trial, a point that has further enraged Trump. Well, you know, he loses his you-know-what readily. 844-967-2789. I always keep it together in front of the microphone, at least. Try to. Mark from the SAC. Welcome back. What do you got for us, Mark?
Yeah, thanks. And, it's hard to imagine that people still support this man. I mean, and talking about 25 people, you know, And that was average a lot of days when we were singing in the Capitol, you know, protesting Scott Walker.
Talking about the Solidarity sing-along participants, Mark, there were often way more than a dozen because that was the standard they originally used through emergency administrative codes. Conley's ruling, that's what they used to start arresting people at that Capitol. So, yeah, man, numerically, There were more wanker protesters singing at the Capitol every day than there are theoretically at the courthouse in New York, Manhattan.
It's just sad that people are still, you know, that are still drawn to this man for some reason. I mean, here this man, he is a grumpy, sleepy, you know, that flatulent old man.
Was Farty one of the nine dwarfs, seven dwarfs? Was Farty in Snow White?
No, it wasn't Farty, and at least in the old version, maybe in a satire version, could be one. But it is just sad. I mean, that the man was ever elected at all, because the man has been a cheat his entire life. I mean, now we find out that yes, he perhaps, you know, fathered at least one. I won't say love child, but fathered one illegitimate child, and no child is legitimate or illegitimate. But we don't know how many he did there, how many abortions he's paid for in his sorry career. Maybe people are going to finally wake up, but I don't know.
Well, Mark, I'm going to correct the record on one point, if I understand correctly, and I don't mean to call you out because I hate when people do this, but the allegation that Trump apparently fathered a love child with the maid has never been corroborated. That is not an allegation that's being perpetrated any longer. That just seemed like an opportunistic doorman at the Trump Tower, you know, trying to get paid. And he did, to the tune of $30,000. Whether or not that was true or not, Mark, I've not seen that one corroborated. And if we know that he had an affair with a playmate and apparently had a tryst with Stormy Daniels, why wouldn't we, you know, see pictures of the love daughter? I've seen pictures of Scott Walker's alleged love baby. If you don't know that story, tune in. I'll tell it back on the radio again someday. 844-967-2789. I can support the allegations against Scott Walker. I have a source, and I continue to check with her lawyer every couple of years, and she's been standing by her story that Scott Walker fathered a love child while at Marquette University. I'm just saying there's a source out there. Back to the more pertinent politics of the day. Donald Trump, the former president, standing trial criminally, 34 felonious allegations, and his old buddy, David Pecker, the head of the National Enquirer, again, back on the stand today, giving testimony. And the most interesting thing, and I've been flipping back and forth in the coverage between the multiple cable news sources, is it's a different world depending on whose coverage you're watching. And the Fox coverage, I mean, damn, they're downright excited for their guy. They think this is the best thing that ever happened. You know, this is clearly Joe Biden and a political witch hunt and all the pandering you would expect. But as the headline says, it feels pretty silly. Columnist roast Foxy News for fawning Trump trial coverage. I'll throw a little of this out for your consideration. Fox News host Jesse Waters' coverage of the Donald Trump criminal hush money trial is raising eyebrows for the praise he lavishes upon the former president and the basic facts about courtroom proceedings he seems not to understand, a new analysis shows. Now, I watched Jesse Waters the other night, so you never have to. And Jesse Waters was talking about the allegations that Trump kept falling asleep at trial, and it was so cold. And his excuse was, this is a crime. The fact that Trump is on trial is a crime. And the crime part is, this is a vibrant, active man. He should be not in a courtroom, but on a golf course. So a little bit more of the fawning coverage, you know, his natural environment, the golf course. That's where Jesse Waters would like to see him each and every day. He was there mostly during his presidency. But among his confused viewers is Vanity Fair's political correspondent, Bess Levin, who targeted Jesse Waters Tuesday with a quick fact check and a joking prediction for Fox News. How long till the network likens the ex-president to Jesus Christ and the trial to a crucifixion? Levin asked, probably not that long. Levin argues Waters, who is on Monday called the trial cruel and unusual punishment because it prevented Trump from golfing. apparently I must have been watching on Monday, I saw this live, seems to expect the justice system should work differently for the former president. Well, isn't that how white privilege works? Rich white privilege? Sorry about that. Most people understand that these very basic rules are standard for anyone on trial for allegedly committing a bunch of crime, she wrote, and that they're really just not a big deal. Levin also expressed some discomfort at issuing a Fox News a fact check. It seems pretty silly to fact check anything that anyone on Fox News ever says. But there are a few things to note. Those things include a challenge to the argument Trump has been denied freedom of speech via limited gag order, and that appearing in court is taking away his freedom of movement. He doesn't have constrained freedom of movement, and that the treatment he's receiving is similar to those at Gitmo. That is, Levin noted, unless Gitmo prisoners are allowed to fly home to their Palm Beach resorts on the weekends. No, not the last time I checked. Come back, one last segment for your contribution. Make it a good one. 844-967-2789.
60% of the time, they're right every time. The Devil's Advocates.
Welcome back to the Devil's Advocates radio show. We'll welcome back my little buddy Dominic. He'll join us 3 o'clock tomorrow. That is the new custom. Dom, all 3 hours of the greatest radio show ever. And you say, but I don't get you in hour number one, Crudy. Sure you do. You just got to get on the Civic Media app and find, you know, WMDX. Or here's another plan. Go directly to our stream, darnwi.com. We're streaming live there right now. You can hear us each and every day. I will still take your calls. There's still time, 844-967-2789. Real quick, though, today is the anniversary of Donald Trump telling us to inject bleach. And the Biden campaign thought it would be an opportune time to remind us. 4 years ago today, then President Donald Trump on live national television during what would be known as merely the early days and weeks of COVID-19 suggested an injection of a household disinfectant could cure the deadly coronavirus. That was sort of the beginning of the end for Trump. The Biden campaign today has already posted 5 times on social media about Trump's 2020 remarks, including by saying, 4 years ago today, Dr. Birx, that's the scarf lady, reacted in horror. We talked about, you know, I can't look. She literally, like, what, put her head down in her hands when Trump was speculating on the injection of bleach. Dr. Birx reacted in horror as Trump told Americans to inject bleach on national television. And less than 24 hours after Trump's remarks, calls to the New York City Poison Control Center more than doubled, including people complaining of Lysol and bleach exposure. Across the country, the CDC reported calls to state and local poison control centers jumped 20%. It was a watershed moment, soon to become ironic in the annuals of presidential briefings. It arguably changed the course of political history. Political reported on the one-year anniversary of Trump's bleach debacle. It quickly came to symbolize the chaotic essence of his presidency and his handling of the pandemic. Yes, yes, yes. 844-967-2789. Still time for you, especially if your name's Dan and you're from Nakusa. Welcome, Dan. What do you got for us?
You know, I love you guys' radio show. I listen to it every day. And, you know, you kind of got my ears perked up when you were talking about Scott Walker's love child.
Dan, you want to hear that story one more time?
Yes, I would. I mean, even if we could talk about this a little bit more tomorrow, that would be good, too. But I would love to hear that story one more time.
Dan, I can be efficient. Thank you for calling and triggering my memory. Here is the story, as it was alleged by the Wisconsin Citizens Media Cooperative, which were the original journalists that covered this story, and they made the allegation that Scott Walker impregnated his college roommate. And the young lady apparently got pregnant, and at first Scott was supportive, but allegedly, per the article that was written, his parents pressured the woman to have an abortion. And she was not comfortable with that solution, let's call it. And so anyways, Scott Walker, if you'll recall, left college in good standing. And there's always been a question, why did he drop out of college? And what did he go do? Because he didn't go run for the assembly. He didn't go lose to Gwen Moore until a little while later. But he quit his college in good standing because we verified he had a GPA of like 2.64. That keeps you in good standing at Marquette, apparently. But he left college deficient less than a year from graduation, I think. You know, was well on course. So why would he do that? He went to work for the Red Cross, my understanding. And it's funny because I worked for the Red Cross briefly about that same time frame. I've always wondered if Scott Walker and I were in the same office at the same time. I think I would have smelled the corruption on him. But here's the point. I've always speculated it was for the health insurance because he had a new dependent. And the woman who alleges that Scott Walker knocked up his college girlfriend was in the delivery room when she gave birth to the child. That child was subsequently adopted shortly thereafter, as the story was told at the Wisconsin Citizens Media Cooperative. And the woman married the man that eventually raised this child like his own. Now, the family has never really wanted to, you know, drag this out there in the public, but the woman that made the allegation was in the delivery room. She also stood up at the wedding, Dan. So she was there at the wedding. That's the sort of friend she was. She would very well know who the father was, I suspect. And she stands by her allegations. Last time we reached out to her lawyer, and this was actually during one of Scott Walker's campaigns, I believe about 2014 timeframe, about a decade ago. And the lawyer said she effectively stands by her story. Now, she is a doctor, a professor doctor at the University of Minnesota, I believe. I will post this story because it's worth a read. And I think there was information that was left out to protect the privacy of this family. I have seen pictures of the woman. She bears a striking resemblance to Scott Walker. And I've always made this allegation and felt comfortable doing so because the person making the allegation stands by it, has legal counsel, years later stands by the details of this story, and there's no incentive for her to make this allegation to expose herself. But I would point out, Scott Walker, the wanker, never sued for defamation. Not me, not her, not the Wisconsin's Citizens Media Co-op. Thank you to my friends, Matt Flynn, candidate for the 6CD, Democrat John Zarbano, and thank you, Rich, for all the help today. My little buddy Dom will be back tomorrow. Stick around, the Busted Pencils, educated educators talking education.